bodily functions that happen on air. So don't worry. You can proceed with confidence.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're comical, Jason. You know, you've got
unless
full
they get
veto
a laugh.
Power.
That's exactly right. Unless they get
like
a laugh.
Like a clown throwing up. That'd be kind of fun. You know, I don't know what that sounds like, but it could
a
be good.
A clown throwing. You think it sounds different than just a regular person throwing
just like
up?
A couple horns in there, like, you know? Hello and welcome to episode number 504 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful ADHD or committed to educating you on things that entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these maternal pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking the nose of mothers.
But before we do that, since we're talking about motherhood today, and a lot of you listening are moms, and Aaron's a mom, because Knox and I are not moms, but we have moms. That feels like we have some expertise. It's time to figure out which type of mom you are. Are you a Taco Bell mom or Chick-fil-A mom? Now, this isn't as simple as where do you eat the most? No, don't be ridiculous. This is a state of mind. This is a plane of existence. And we're here to help you figure out where you land. So Friday's newsletter, note for the audio, is going to be a podcast quiz to determine if you're a Taco Bell mom or Chick-fil-A mom. Go to knoxandjamie.com/momquiz to make sure you're signed up for Note for the Audio so that it will come straight to your mailbox on Friday afternoon. If you're listening after Friday, you can still snag the quiz. Again, just head to the link in the show notes or knoxandjamie.com/momquiz.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Jamie, the nose of motherhood. I just want to say, just coming into this episode, we're like the walking wounded right now. I think we're really hitting our health stride now.
Listen, okay, so Aaron and I both got sick at Taylor Swift. Maybe I got sick and then I breathed on Aaron a lot.
That may have been what happened.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who's to say?
Which Aaron did we think made us sick?
Aaron, what virology school did you graduate from? You don't know something like that, you know?
It was definitely Fearless.
Fearless. So Fearless era made us sick and infected us, which was great. Although we still both can't get COVID, no matter how hard we try.
I mean, I feel like at this point, it offends me.
It hurts my feelings. Like COVID's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Really. But, and then Knox, you have a couple of organs that are just not letting you eat food.
Just not knowing what's up here, you guys. So, I've got a little vom bag here on the side if I need to. Is that audio we should capture, or like, do we want to let that go to the mute? I don't know.
Jason Waterfalls will absolutely mute any bodily functions that happen on air. So don't worry. You can proceed with confidence.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're comical, Jason, you know, you've got
unless
full
they get a laugh.
Power.
That's exactly right. Unless they get
a
laugh.
Like a clown throwing up. That'd be kind of fun. You know, I don't know what that sounds like, but it could
a
be good.
Clown you think it sounds different than just a regular person throwing
just like
up?
A couple horns in there, like, you know? Could be good. We just don't know. I mean, have you heard a clown throw up? Don't knock it till you tried it, you know? Jason, leave all those coughs in too, because I want people to hear the texture of what we're dealing with.
I know. I've now experienced your wheeze. It's not as entertaining in me as it is in you.
We're playing through it, which I feel like this is the perfect kind of episode to talk about and honor mothers, because mothers are always just playing through it. So.
No, they always are, which is always, like, I'm going to be honest, it's actually one of their worst qualities. It's like, just calm down. Like, they martyr themselves so much.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, you're sick again? We're not going to get to go to karaoke? Gah.
Well, so we asked on social and we got a lot of great comments. But before we get to the comments, we thought it'd be good to do maybe like a nice no and like a yes so we can kind of frame the conversation. So, Jamie, do you have a nice no you want to share?
Yeah, super nice no. I'm going to say nice no to moms who try to be pick me moms. Knox, do you know what a pick me girl is?
I think I do.
Oh, Aaron felt that.
Are they like cool girls?
I just don't like the whole idea of pick me's.
Yeah.
It's very, very stressful for someone who is a pick me.
Right. She's organic. She came out of the womb a pick me. She was like, hello. Actually, Erin's really not a pick me. So pick me girls they're not like other girls. They're cool.
Okay.
She's friends with guys because there's no drama.
Okay.
She's super carefree. But in reality, it's a result of her internalized misogyny prompting her to want a man to pick her.
Wow.
Okay. So now a pick me mom. Also, not like other moms. She's best friends with her kid. She's a hashtag boy mom. She spends every weekend with her daughter and their friends picking out candles shaped like diglets at Urban Outfitters. Her child has a unique name that's also like a maritime term, you know, like anchor or harbor.
Yeah, those are strong boy names. Very masculine.
That's right.
Good. Yeah.
She laughs a little too loud at her teenage son, Worf, when he tells dumb jokes. And then a pick me mom's bio.
I love captain of the lacrosse team, Worf Brinkley.
And his mom, Rachel, is always like, oh, Worf, you're ridiculous. And then a pick me mom's bio on Instagram absolutely does not pass the Bechdel test. It just has emojis of all her children and her dog and cat. And finally, she does think that the best pop culture mom was Lorelai. Oh, that's the most brutal part, because when we all know it was really Emily all along. She was
wow.
the best mom. She was.
Wow.
So that's my nice note. Just don't listen, moms. Just be moms. You ain't got to be your kid's best friend. You don't have to try so hard. Don't try so hard.
So is the pick me mom, is that a natural evolution of the cool girl, like from the Gone Girl monologue?
Yes.
Does she turn into a pick me mom?
She 100% turns into, because she's like, well, now because I have to sit in carpool line, mm-hmm. I'm not as attractive to all the guys at the bars because sure. I don't spend as much time at bars. I married this punk. And
yeah.
so she has to find another group of people to pick her.
Yeah.
And man, third graders are the perfect group to solicit.
Yeah, they'll do anything. They'll believe anything, honestly. Man, not to spoil my tentative yes, but I was this close to just trying to make boy moms my tentative yes, but I thought that's too much anarchy too early in the episode, so I'm not gonna
as opposed
that.
To girl moms, right? Like, because
man, nobody talks about girl moms, huh? Like, nobody talks about girl dads. Do people talk about girl dads? I don't feel like they do. With okay, my nice to know are moms. This is really a parent issue, but I'm gonna moms do it. Mom, I've witnessed moms do it mostly. Moms who loudly parent in public places.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
It's a very nuanced thing, but it really gets on my nerves, and it's performance parenting. And it might be the truest form of art because I don't know who it's for. Like, it's just for the sport of it, I guess, but it's like a one woman show, and it's always like a woman and a 2-year-old or 3-year-old or something. And it's something like, Braxley Vincent, no sir, no sir, we don't hit strangers with puzzles. And then, like, you'll hear, Braxley Vincent, are you making a good choice right now? And it's full volume for everyone
right.
to hear. And Braxley Vincent isn't listening, right? He's not engaging in what she is saying. She'll do, like, the whole Braxley Vincent Dufresne the Fourth. Get over here right now. Let that Target employee do her job. No, sir. No, sir. No, Mama's going to count down now. And you know what they start counting down from? They
28.
Don't count. That's right. They start from 30. Okay? Because it's a whole thing. It's a three-act show. And I just... Like, if you're, I'm a very conscious, like a self-conscious parent. So if I have a threat to unveil, I get right up in that ear, you know? And I'm like, hey, listen, if you do this again, I'm going to disappear you from existence. Okay. Like, don't make me do that. I'm not broadcasting that. I'm not doing the megaphone thing in Target. That's absurd. Don't do that. Don't be that person, please.
Do you think KiwiCo is what taught them to do that? KiwiCo includes a note. It's like, hey, call your kid by their full name when you're inside a Walmart and just let everybody know, and that helps the kid understand shame.
Probably. Maybe. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me, but they're always like looking around, seeing who's watching. I hate it so, so very much. Jamie, what's your tentative yes about moms?
Okay, so I am going to go all ham for moms who celebrate their weird kids, both privately and publicly, because that is a way for me to celebrate Jan, my own mom. Look, I Listen, my mom, she didn't know I had ADHD, but she knew if I had a Mountain Dew on the way to school and wanted my lunch that I stayed in my seat longer. And she was just doing the best she could, right? GM broke a broom so I could use the stick as a lightsaber in the woods to fight my imaginary enemies on the planet Endor. When other kids said they wanted to grow up to be veterinarians or teachers or astronauts, I said I wanted to be a game show host. So my mom made it a chore on my chore chart to watch Wheel of Fortune every day. She let me watch Muppet Babies and As the World Turns. She let me wear a Jim and the Hologram sleep shirt to school 3 days in a row. She fielded all my requests with a lot of thoughtfulness. And sometimes she would throw caution to the wind when I asked for her to look at my friend's parents' arrest records at her job at the DA's office.
Nice.
Now, that's maybe more throwing ethics to the wind. I don't know.
Who knows?
No, YOLO. Jan didn't know. She didn't know, but she did know that she loved me and that I was weird and that she shouldn't try to change my weird, you know?
Yeah. Look, in Jan's defense, they started like monetizing it by releasing Just Busted, like the weekly newspaper about who got arrested and why.
Right.
So I feel like Jan's off the hook in that regard.
No, yeah, it wasn't just her. Everybody, you can find those arrest records anywhere.
Yeah. They're but public, they're if public you do records. Want to help your kid learn how to be a game show host, Wheel of Fortune's not the show to watch because he does not do anything.
All summer it was back to Price is Right, like because it was Bob Barker.
Now you're really doing some work, Bob Barker. Problematic, probably, definitely. But he's really like work in the game.
Listen,
show
to Aaron's circuit. Like, no.
Oh, Aaron,
the
you
Bob
didn't know
Barker was problematic.
I mean, man, I'm honestly in this moment, I'm like, is it Happy Gilmore? Am I thinking of the Bob Barker from Happy Gilmore
instead of regular? Because of all the pets he spayed and neutered.
He's
not
just,
himself. He didn't do it himself.
Wow,
that would be problematic, right?
I mean,
their public service,
not their body, not their choice.
Oh,
you know,
no,
did he have their consent?
He is.
Oh, he is problematic. Aaron has confirmed.
All those showcase models and Bob Barker looking like he looks, and I honestly have no reason to say this, but the tall, skinny Mike, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. Something weird going on there, guys.
I don't like that. What's your tentative yes?
I would say sports moms.
Uh-oh.
Out in those ball field streets, doing it all. Not really probably typically getting all the love. I feel like the dads typically get like the big picture love, you know, with sports. Like they get to have the conversations. They get to have maybe the celebrations. But the moms are the ones like actually making that stuff happen because it starts the night before or day of when the kids cannot find any part of their uniform or any of their sporting equipment. It's like after every game, any relevant part of what they need to play the sport just detonates and scatters to the wind. It involves them sitting through four-hour baseball games where no one does anything athletically appealing at all.
Misery.
Ridiculous. If you have more than one kid, it also means having to entertain disinterested siblings during said four-hour baseball game while it's a million degrees off the metallic bleachers that somehow gather the heat and turn it into like, you know, a sub-volcano. It also involves, this is my favorite, it's tournaments where the good news is that you only have two games on Saturday.
Yeah.
But the bad news is your first game's at 8:30 in Dubai and your next one's at 3:30 and it's in East Narnia. So you want to get on the road as soon as that first one's over. It's ridiculous. Sports
and then by
moms,
the time you get to that 8 a.m., they've already canceled it.
We switched it. It's at West Narnia now. So you want to go ahead and get over there. I just feel like sports moms don't get enough credit. They're the real ones out there. They're making it all happen.
Aaron, you're a sports mom.
That's right, I am.
See, good for sports mom.
Thank
that's
you.
Right. That's right. The straw that stirs the drink for the kids. So those are nice note. That's a tentative yes. Jamie, do you want to start reading some of the comments?
Yes. So our first comes from an anonymous who said, when I was 8, my mother read the adult version of Left Behind to me and my brother for an hour every morning. We would take turns reading chapters as our reading lesson for the day. Also, she told me as a preteen that masturbation was a generational curse on our family and prayed for me not to have the desire to do it anymore.
Ooh, okay. The Left Behind thing, I don't mind. Because, like, look, in retrospect, it's tough, but it was pretty compelling.
Reading about Nikolai Carpathia in your morning reading in your homeschool is a good idea?
I mean, now, no. But back then, I totally understand it. I was into it. I was reading it at every possible opportunity. The masturbation stuff is a little more murky for me, and I have some issues with... Are you reading that as, like, they were generationally cursed to masturbate or because of masturbation?
No, I think it's because of masturbation, our family is cursed.
They're like, because of great Uncle Ronnie just going to town on himself, walking the dog 3 times a day, that's why we are in poverty right now.
And again, the big thing I have with this was a woman who sent this in. I would say the masturbation problem in terms of your generational curses is with the men, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to say it's with the men. If you've ever... Which of the folks have done it in a car while they're driving? It's not the ladies, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
Although I did sit next to a woman who did it on a plane.
Yeah.
And slept next to me. But no matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Up next, we have Corinna L. Van, who said, I told my sophomore son that I would pay for him to go on a $2,000 band trip to Disney World if he promised me that he would try to get to second base on some form of transportation, with consent, of course, during the trip. In a post-pandemic world, we parents are out here in these mean streets just trying to move these kids along.
I know it sounds strange, but you cannot understand the social impact of losing like 18 months of formative social years. So I do understand this. I feel like there is an implication that the bases have been rearranged, because I think before, I don't know what second base was like to everybody, but I feel like first base is eye contact now. And I think second base is just like conversation. I think that's what second base is.
Boobs. Second base is boobs.
Pre-pandemic, you're probably right. You're probably right, Jamie. But I don't think now in this new world.
It's P's and V's. You touch them.
No chance. That's like fourth time around the bases, probably.
Now, here's the comedy of this. Corinna did a public comment about paying off a child to get to second base. We also got an anonymous comment, which I even had follow-up questions for this anonymous commenter. And she messaged me and explained everything. She paid her 15-year-old daughter $1,000 to maintain her virginity for the entirety of her sophomore year.
Okay.
She told me that they had a ceremony where they had to swear over a pit bull tapestry that read, live, laugh, love. And then they added a bonus because this boyfriend they did not like and they had broken up. They added a bonus of $500 if she could actually stay away from the ex-boyfriend through June. And she said, my daughter did great. She earned the entire $1,500 in the honeypot.
Don't like that. Don't like the honeypot.
Don't like the term honeypot. That's
but
weird.
But I think where the purity culture, the True Love Waits movement missed was like converting that commitment into value. And
if you just
break this down into pure capitalism and you say, hey, here's 10 grand if you don't have sex during high school, I feel like a lot of kids will be like, well, now we actually have something to think about here.
Because listen, a Joe Bro purity ring doesn't mean anything to me because my brain's not fully developed and I can't think about future consequences.
That's right.
I can only think about right now. But right now, if you're like, this is $1,000, I can clearly value that and know, well, I can spend that at Sephora for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you've got some options here. I think that's great. Did your parents ever bribe you to like not do anything, like to intentionally not do it? Because for me, like our youth group, at the end of every summer, we'd go down the Ocoee River, you know, like,
yeah,
like the kayak, like all that stuff, like a huge group of us. And she's either 5'6" or Enneagram 5'6" or Enneagram 6 wing 5. So she's very concerned, very worried,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm just running the numbers. Like it's a river. It's a lot of kids. There are accidents. It's a chaperone, very limited. Some of those dudes on the river guides are not like super attentive. So the odds are good that you're not going to come back. So I'm just going to overpay for you to not make that decision. And I took that money every single summer.
Like, so you just wouldn't go. She would just give you cash to not go.
I mean, I was like, do I even want to go on this? Probably not. And if you're offering me any money, I'll probably say no. So it was great for me.
Listen, that did not happen to me because I was, first of all, not going to miss anything ever. Mm-hmm. Like if there was something happening, I was there. Second, you know, my value of understanding money, obviously I had a car repossessed at 22. So
okay.
I didn't have a real understanding of how that worked.
Who among us has not, you know, had that potentially happen?
Exactly.
Right?
Thank you. Exactly. Up next, we have Fabigail One, who said, my high school boyfriend broke up with me in the one coffee shop in our tiny town on a day my mother happened to be seated across the room working from her computer. Mid breakup, I received a text from my mom that said, try and keep it down. Everyone can hear you crying.
Okay.
Good looking out, mom.
Listen, Spin Zone, I think she's just trying to manage your PR from this breakup, you know,
yeah.
Because like she can't change the fact you're being dumped, right? And you don't want her intervening. That's not a good look for anybody. So I think this is actually a good mom move.
You know? I'm actually team mom too, because I'm glad she didn't go over and try to like beat the guy up or anything.
Yeah.
But you also have to protect the vibe of the coffee house. Like folks are writing their screenplays or filling out editorial calendars.
That's
for
right.
Their booming Etsy business. They don't need your teen angst spilling over into their Americana. You know what I mean?
That's not what they paid for. Let me ask this though. It's a high school boyfriend. Probably should know the mom at this point, you know, probably should be able to like recognize her. I feel like if you're going in for the kill shot in a relationship and you see your significant other's like parent in the same room, I do feel like that's a reason to pivot.
Well, but I just don't think high school boys are good at pivoting. Do you? Like, I feel like he was like, I have prepped for this all day because I also want to see Kristen later tonight because I already have plans with her. So I do have to end this.
He's like, come on, Worf, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Let's do this breakup.
Exactly. No, exactly. Okay. Up next, we have LMG724 who said, right after we got married, My mother-in-law told me that she knew my husband would be a big boob guy because he liked to nurse so much as a baby.
That's just great info for your mother-in-law.
This was, dare I say, maybe the most common comment that we got from a variety of people. Boy moms, don't do this. Even if it's true, you're creepy. Don't do this.
I think, and also I feel like that's a false correlation because like, there'd also have to be nursing opportunities from other body parts that could be fetishized, you know, to be able to be like, oh no, it's definitely the boob.
What
like
other body parts?
Like you could, like if you're nursing, there's an elbow opportunity or like a foot opportunity or like a butt opportunity or whatever.
But you can't get any milk from your elbow.
No, but like say you could, and then it was, and she was like, no, but I knew he always liked the boob. He didn't like the butt or the foot or the elbow, but he definitely liked the boob. That's how I knew. Then I'd be like, well, there's actual evidence supporting your claim here.
So you're saying that babies sometimes nurse from other parts of your body?
No, I'm saying if they could, then we would have a greater idea of the variance of preference on the nursing outlet.
Oh, it's because it's got food in it. That's all. It's just like whatever body part had food in it. So if the nose had food in it.
Yeah, that's the only place he can go, lady. Like, of course he's going to like to nurse because that's how he grows as a baby. I don't want to like spoil Yellow Jackets season 2. Episode whatever, you know, at a certain point, but like that's kind of how that works.
That's right,
you know?
So scientifically this doesn't make sense, and also it's creepy. Stand by the creepiness of it. When a mom says, my baby boy loves boobs, he's 30 and he's getting married to this woman, don't have this conversation with her.
I would say, I would even support, like, if every mother-in-law was like, hey, I'm not getting you a gift for your wedding, but in exchange what I am going to give you is I'm never going to talk about any time where your husband nursed on my breasts. I'm just never going to do that. And that's my gift forever to you. And I'd be like, great gift. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God, like that's the best coupon you can get.
That's right. That's right.
On Mother's Day. Okay. Next up, we have Gina Lynn Poole, who said, while dating, my future mother-in-law sat me down to have a purity talk with me. Mm. I've never prayed so hard for Jesus to come. Did you think she meant come back? Anyway, then for our first anniversary, my mother-in-law bought me not one, but two pieces of negligee. They were immediately thrown away. Do you know what a negligee is?
I mean, it's a piece of clothing that you wear to suggest certain activities
That's
in the bedroom.
Right. Because lingerie is the umbrella term.
Yeah.
And the negligee is see-through.
Oh, so, I don't think I knew that necessarily.
Yeah, so negligee, it's like French for not there, and that's a loose translation.
No. I want to find out.
If you're French, do not DM me. I do not care. But send me a baguette or some croissants. Like, you could do that. I don't like this. I don't like any sexual adjacent conversation with an in-law. I just don't.
No, you don't need to do it. So here's what I don't understand. I see a French word. The translation of that's wrong translation. It's neglect is a translation.
Neglect to cover your areolas.
Yeah,
that's
and I guess
what
that is. That feels like quite the stretch. You know, quite the definitional stretch. Let me just ask this, okay? Jeannie's mother-in-law is wanting to have a purity
Gina,
talk with her.
Gina
is trying to have a purity talk with her and is trying to give her see-through clothes.
Right.
Okay. Why would she do that?
Yeah, I don't understand. Was the purity talk because it was just while they were dating? And then she was like, while you're dating, no. And then on the first anniversary, instead of giving them paper, which is the traditional, maybe it was like, paper. Here's a paper thin piece of bedtime clothing.
I don't know, but you have to think about motivation here. And for me, I couldn't help but think of, you know, sometimes in sports, like you'll have coaches, the first few practices, they don't practice. They just call them conditioning drills.
Okay.
And all they do is run until people throw up. And the point is to see who they can run off, right? To see who's there just to coast, who isn't really committed, and to separate those who are committed from those who are not committed. So I wonder if the mother-in-law is just trying to see how committed she is to the son, and maybe she could scare her off a little bit.
So the negligee was like a reward for, I didn't scare you off.
No, it's like, maybe she thought like first year anniversary, we're still within the statute of limitations to be like, we can kind of annul this, you know, and get done with this, like before it really gets started. And that was like the last one. But I just think like, it's like I think tired meeting new boyfriends while holding a gun, you know.
Oh.
Wired, you know, introduce your kid's significant other to your oldest relative and then walk off 15 seconds after the introduction to see how they do,
brutal.
See how they hang.
We did get an anonymous from a woman, a listener who has a stepmother, who told us the story of how her dad got together with, he had an affair. And he ended up marrying the mistress when she was a baby. And so she was like, it's a weird dynamic. But when she went to get married decades later, the stepmom pulled her in and said, hey, I wanted you to have this. It was mine when I married your dad. She opened the box and it was her used lingerie. It's tough.
I mean, look, I don't
recycle,
like it.
Reuse Rihanna. What?
I don't like it. But here's the only, if I'm running PR for that lingerie, I'm like, hey, you know, it works. Okay, you know it works because it worked for me, right? I broke up that
it
marriage.
It got your with this. Dad, so maybe yeah. This will get you your dad too.
So we
what?
Know this no, gets I don't results. Like
it. I don't like that.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod. Okay, up next we have Molly Horn. One Mother's Day, my brother, dad, and I thought it might be nice for us to have an impromptu roast of my mother as we ate lunch to celebrate the holiday. I guess we all went a bit too deep on the roast because about 25 minutes in, my mother got up from the table, grabbed her car keys, and disappeared for 2 days. It's been about 10 years, and I don't think any of us have ever worked up the courage to ask where she went. Our family isn't allowed to roast at the table anymore.
Look, this is a hilarious idea, but it's also the worst idea heard, Molly.
Molly, first of all, Molly, if you're listening, you have to go ask your mom today where she went.
No.
Like, just
No.
Yes, and report back so we can talk about it. Like, because what if she left and, like, purposely ran over a possum just so she could feel something? Like, and she was like, I wish this were my kids.
She's entitled to that. I think those 2 days, that's what she deserves and she's earned. She never has to speak or be accountable for anything. That was her, like, 2 purge days. Like, anything could have happened during that time.
And I think she has another family that she, like, she met a guy in a gas station and she was like, I have another family now because of that roast.
Great. Like, don't roast people, you know? And I think the misstep here is, roasts, and I feel like there's a lot, like, people don't realize this, roasts are not meant for normal people, okay? Roasts are only meant to exist for supremely egomaniacal celebrities, and it's like a pressure valve to mitigate their incredible vanity. It's a super weapon on super egos, okay? Like, this, separate words, super egos. But when you use that super weapon on a normal, you get real traumatic psychological stuff. So you can't do that. That's a terrible idea. You cannot ever do that.
I'm also curious, who do you think it was? Was it Molly, her brother, or her dad's idea?
Definitely the brother's idea.
Yeah, it was the
And
brother.
The dad was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then they just went too hard in the paint. So it's bad. Because I feel like that stuff sticks with you. Like, do either of you know or, like, remember, or do you have burned in your head, like, the worst roast that your family ever hit you with? Like, at any point during your life?
No, my family has only been supportive.
There's no way that's true. I know Keith's got some real zingers.
No, his real zinger was he would just put me in a laundry basket and put me in a closet and call it babysitting.
Well, I mean, you know.
He was like, I gave you a flashlight and a Peanuts comic book. What do you want? Aaron?
No, not really. I mean, my family still, I mean, it's like, I don't think it's very good.
No good roasts.
No.
What about you? It feels like Jody could be brutal, like unintentionally brutal.
No, like we love through sarcasm. So yes, that's 100% true. I remember my sophomore year in high school, it was baseball season and I was having a hard time bringing the starting lineup because the team had a lot of seniors. So I was on the bench a lot, but I was in the car with her prepping for a test and my mom was like making suggestions on how I should prep for that test, right? I started running that mouth and I was like, hey, you know, I'm a sophomore in high school. I know how to study. Okay. I don't think I need your advice. And she said, well, since you're so good at studying, maybe you should study why you can't get off the bench during games. And I was like, okay.
Precious.
That's fair. That's a fair shot. Yeah.
And listen, it motivated you. Did you get off the bench?
No, I didn't. It wasn't really in my control. Well, right. You know, well, that was up to the coach. So, but it was a good burn. It was a great burn.
Yeah, it is good. Up next, we have Mag Bowling, who said, when my oldest daughter was 11, I decided to tell her about puberty. I read all of the blogs about how to craft it just right to please the Lord. Alas, my delivery was all wrong. I told her that something exciting and maybe a little strange might happen to her in the coming year. Her response, am I a wizard? How disappointing for her to hear the actual truth. To this day, she's still disappointed.
You know, I do feel like one of the parents should run some Oppo research and some diligence and be like, if her answer to any question is, am I a wizard? Probably not ready for that talk, I would say, in my estimation.
No, but listen, to be fair, menstruation is kind of like going to Hogwarts, right? Like, your uterus gets sorted into a house. Okay, so Gryffindor is like 4 days with a light flow. Slytherin is 9 days with a heavy flow. Mm-hmm. As you get older, the villains you face are scarier. And by villains, I mean clots. Do you want me to keep going? I have 17 bullet points. Most days at school are pretty average. And then one day, a hot guy named Cedric rolls in and you just need to be excused from gym for 2 days.
Yeah.
You just got to be gone.
You know, I do feel like important talks like this with your kids, like they should always be handled like termination meetings. Because they are essentially like terminations of belief. You know, you always got to move downhill. You don't take questions. You don't tip them off.
You don't about take like questions.
Don't take questions. You do your spiel first.
Oh, okay.
And then if they have any questions, you hand them off to someone else or, you know, the other parent or whatever. You just got to deliver that information with specificity and certainty, because you'll end up with like, hey, pause for questions. And they're like, am I a freaking wizard? And you're like, wow, the tenor of this conversation has shifted in a way that I can't handle. I remember when my dad gave me the sex talk, he was explaining condoms. He just went like elite coverage on like all the sex aspects or whatever. And I was like, yeah, so are those like related to condominiums? And it was like, it's such a momentum killer, guys, you know, because it's like,
it is kind of related. Not,
it could be, depending on like a Panama City condominium, probably, but not all condominiums. But like, you have to now help your kid realize that they're stupid, but also get back on point like with what you're talking about.
Listen, I have a friend who told her daughter about having a period, and she went through all the things, and then she was like, do you have questions? And the daughter said, so like how often? Like, when will it happen? And she was like, oh, it'll be like once a month for about 7 days. She was like, what's a month? I thought it happened one time. Oof, like only.
Rough.
It ruined her life. Like it ruined her life. Okay. Up next, we have Elizabeth Pulliam, who said, my mom loves to read. She calls her romance reads crotch novels and has zero shame. She said her doctor told her she needs to get 30 minutes of exercise a day or get her heart rate up. So she now has decided that 30 minutes of crotch novel reading counts as exercise.
Look, I mean, if there are crotch Christians, why shouldn't there be also crotch fiction, you know?
I feel like that makes sense. Can I pitch you not crotch novels? I'm going to just be honest. I don't love the term crotch.
Okay.
You know, I prefer front bottom forever because my grandma called it a front bottom.
Yeah.
So I would like to call it front bottom fiction. Front bottom fiction. Can we call it that?
That just feels like the most like deep south manifestation of the crotch area, you know? And I think that's like my, because you're more in the Appalachia region than I am. So that's probably like where that's coming from.
You're in Appalachia,
you know?
More no, than
see,
me.
You know, everybody muff them. See, I'm flipping the narrative now. And
no,
now you're going to be
no,
the
Appalachian
you're
not doing
person.
It. Listen,
that's what, you're going to be the representative.
I'm wondering now if Anonymous's mom, you know, because she thinks it's a generational curse, but
because Uncle
Ronnie. What if we gave her the health benefits? Like it burns calories and boosts your immune system.
Yeah.
I had to like look that up. Those are actual. But you know how many calories it burns?
No.
No?
What,
you don't want to guess?
What is it? Just reading a hot romance
no,
or like doing other
not,
stuff?
If the crotch novel leads to some crotch activity, some crotch exercise, 6 to 7 calories. That just seems like not enough.
That's
you know what
enough.
I mean?
That's not enough.
I can't
enough.
Put that in my Weight Watchers app.
No.
What are you talking about?
They're not going to count that.
I can't put that in my Fitness Pal. What is it called? See, I don't even know. I don't care.
See, I do feel like this should be a genre, and they maybe they should come with like a checkered flag on the spine, you know, so they can be easily identified, you know?
No, that you don't want that.
No, I think that's the obligation, because you can't be reading that out like on a family car ride. Like I don't want to like mom's got one of her crotch novels. And she's in a different like mental space on this ride than I am, you know?
Well, and now crotch novels look like fun, lighthearted, like the covers. Like Emily Henry writes crotch novels.
Does she really?
Like, what? No. Yes.
I think if you pick up a crotch novel, it's like
Chuck Tingle?
I think he was like a surreal Salvador Dali artist of the crotch novel genre.
Of course, yes.
I feel like a crotch novel is like 70% the scenes you want. You think you're getting, yeah. And then 30% like exposition. I feel like the reverse is just like, you know, has some open door scenes and like some spicy
scenes. That's
true.
Emily Henry is probably second base novels.
Okay. Yeah. Pre-pandemic or post-pandemic second base?
Pre-pandemic.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Okay. Our last one is Brittany Ratliff. Senior prom 2009, I had friends over to do hair and makeup together. My mom comes into the room while I'm curling the pastor's daughter's hair. My mom says, Brittany, do you know where I can find a sexy pirate costume? The room is silent. I say, no, mother, I do not. She presses on. Well, your dad is going through a Captain Jack Sparrow phase, and I was hoping to surprise him with a sexy pirate costume. The room of 18-year-olds are all half horrified, half taking notes.
No, none of them are taking notes. I can promise you that. None of them.
Yeah. No, Mom, I don't know where you can get one. Oh, well, she responds. I guess I'll just go back to using your old cheerleading uniform.
Listen. Okay, there is so much in this rich text because, you know, first read, I didn't notice that Brittany, with 16 T's, 42 I's, and 82 F's in her name, was curling the pastor's daughter's hair. That's a good detail. I missed
that. Oh, that's a critical detail because that means there's a mixed group of levels of modesty in the room, which, by the way, the pastor's daughter is the least of them. You know what I mean? PK's.
She might be the one who was taking notes, you know?
That's right.
Do you think this is more, which part is more embarrassing, that the mom is like, I want to use your cheerleading outfit. I want to just dress up like the jester of Tortuga, or that her dad is in a Captain Jack Sparrow phase? I feel like secretly that's kind of humiliating.
Listen, a Captain Jack Sparrow phase in 2009. Is that when it came to TBS? What happened?
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
They're finally seeing it. Listen, this mother, Brittany, your mom is mother of the millennia. You need, for this year's Mother's Day, you need to get her an orchid, because that's the most Pikachu flower. Get her an orchid, some chocolate-covered strawberries, and a gift card to Party City. Let her have her best life.
Ooh, if other people are out there going through Johnny Depp character phases, I want to throw out some other characters you could use, you know, to elevate the bedroom situation.
Okay.
Like Brittany Ratliff's mom in 2009. You've got obviously Edward Scissorhands or Sweeney Todd. I feel like they're kind of similar.
Oh yeah.
Same genre, you know.
Perfect.
Rango. I don't know if you guys saw Rango.
No, Rango.
I'm just saying, we don't get gumps here. Mad Hatter, Willy Wonka, again, same kind of genre of person.
Oh, yeah.
And then lastly, Black Mass, featuring the notorious mobster of Boston, Whitey Bulger. I feel like that works as title of your sex tape, but also like good cosplay for your marital bed situation. So
these are all Johnny Depp.
Yeah, these are all, that's what I'm saying. If you want a Johnny Depp-inspired character to replicate, as I explained at the beginning of this.
Oh, I didn't miss that part.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, well, happy Mother's Day.
Well, that's our conversation on the nose of motherhood. If you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Nostrum.com/504.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is Richard Dreyfuss. Okay, now, for those who don't know, he is the Oscar-winning actor from such films as Jaws and Stand By Me, and of course, Mr. Holland's Opus. Now, you might be like, what are you talking about, Richard Dreyfuss? Well, he did an interview with Margaret Hoover on PBS's Firing Line, where he was asked about the Oscars diversity and inclusion requirements that were developed, you know, years ago that finally go into effect at next year's Oscars. And you might be like, well, what are the requirements? Well, in order for a movie to be eligible for Best Picture, now this only applies to that one award, by the way, not the other 23 that they give out. There are four standards. A film, in order to be eligible for Best Picture, has to meet two of them. And they have to do with underrepresented folks on a set, right? So there's like at least one actor has to be not a white straight man who doesn't have a disability, right? You have to have two or more department heads who must not be white straight men who don't have a disability. You have to have studios and distributors that have to have at least two interns, y'all, two interns who aren't white straight men, again, who don't have a disability. And then the studio has to have more than one executive in marketing or PR who, again, is not a white straight man who doesn't have a disability. Now, when asked about these requirements, Richard Dreyfuss said they make me vomit because this is an art form. It's also a form of commerce and it makes money, but it's art. And no one should be telling me as an artist that I have to give into the latest, most current idea of what morality is. And then he brought up Laurence Olivier in the 1965 version of Othello, where I don't know if y'all remember, Laurence Olivier wore blackface to play Othello. And this is what Richard Dreyfuss said. He said, he played a black man brilliantly. Am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man? Is someone else being told that if they're not Jewish, they shouldn't play in The Merchant of Venice? Are we crazy? This is so patronizing. Now, just for the record, just to Richard, because I know you're listening, okay? Richard, you would have to go back in Oscars history before Knox and Aaron were even born, before a Best Picture nominee would not qualify under these new guidelines. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Every movie, La La Land, qualified. That's one of the whitest movies made. But thanks to John Legend, that movie would still get to be a Best Picture nominee, right? And fake win it, and then have to give it to Moonlight. You know what I mean? Now, Richard, you could portray pop star icon Prince in blackface in a movie with an all white straight cast and crew, and interns funded by an all white straight studio, and you could still be nominated for Best Actor. It just wouldn't qualify for Best Picture. Do you know what I mean? And it's Hollywood, so any dream can come true. So if you really want to play, Harriet Tubman, like, you can still do it. Even though you're 75 and you should stop doing interviews, you can still do it. So again, if you're someone else, because this dialogue's going to pick up about like, well, I guess we just don't care about art anymore. No, that's not what this is. Everybody's fine. Read all of the article, read all of the details. Richard, Richard Dreyfuss, a man who attended the OJ trial on behalf of OJ, if you remember correctly.
I like, a lot of times it's just easy to be like, well, it's too late for me to do X, Y, or Z in my life. But I think Richard Dreyfuss, if nothing else, is an inspiration to all of us. He's like, I still want to portray Jackie Robinson. That is a dream of mine.
I cannot believe you stole in that from me, you woke mob.
Richard Dreyfuss, I would also chill out because the best part of Jaws was when you disappeared underwater for like 36 hours. So maybe chill the big one on your social commentary, my guy.
Thank you. Okay, what's your red light?
Mine's really short and sweet. And it is after, I wanted, like you're saying, read the whole article, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you have educated yourself on the issue before you cast stones on what your opinion is. And I've really sat out on some of the discourse on this very important issue. But this weekend, I finally went in, did some studying, did some education. Marlo joined me on a trip to see the Mario, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Okay.
And I can confirm the Chris Pratt Mario voice is so bad. It's so bad. And like, I thought that, like, I was just like, okay, that's a true thing that I know for myself. And we were walking out. Marlo was like, you know, I really liked Bowser, really liked, I liked Luigi's voice. Princess Peach felt a little weird. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Anya Taylor-Joy just felt, I felt like she was trying to seduce me almost with her voice a little bit. Oh, I was like, that's just not a good fit.
She's like, look at this eye. Now travel way over here and look at this eye.
That's right. Me and Flounder are tight. But then she was like, but Mario's voice, I didn't like it at all. It felt weird to me, Dad. And I was like, yeah, that's a good instinct because it was weird. She's like, it was high pitched. And is the person who plays Mario Italian? And I was like, no, he's not. He is not in any shape or form. And the movie itself, I'd probably dad like the movie for like, I don't know, maybe 11 and under, you know?
Okay.
It's just, it's a buffet of fan service. It's just a drinking from a fire hose of like, here's all the Nintendo Mario Brothers stuff. The real shame is that Jack Black as Bowser is immense and incredible, and he needs his own like standalone like prequel movie, and that would crush because he is the prize of the movie. But the Chris Pratt voice almost single-handedly takes that whole movie down. It's tough. Okay, what's your green light this week?
Okay, so I have two, and I think one of them is a mutual. So I'll start with my first one. It's Queen Charlotte : A Bridgerton Story. This is a spinoff miniseries revolving around Queen Charlotte, who appears in the original first two seasons of Bridgerton. And it kind of has two plot lines. One is in the present of Bridgerton, which is in 1817, where the queen is trying to pressure her children to get married and produce another royal heir. And then the other one begins in 1761 with young Charlotte meeting and marrying King George. Yes, the same King George from Hamilton, and explores their marriage and his mental illness. Now, Knox and I, for BFOTS, we do pilot program where we watch a first episode of a new series and we deep dive it. We did that last week. So if you have watched Queen Charlotte and you're not already a BFOTS, I might recommend, because we did a nice, and it was Knox's idea to do Queen Charlotte. We really liked the first episode. I now have watched all six episodes on Netflix, and it is a delight. Shonda Rhimes wrote five of the six episodes, which is not the case for Bridgerton. Shonda Rhimes just produced. She was kind of behind the scenes, but she was hands-on in this series, and you can tell. Everything you love about Shonda Rhimes is here. Beautiful monologues, great walking dialogue. It's just so good. And then India Amartafeo, who plays Charlotte, young Charlotte, and Arsema Thomas, who plays young Lady Agatha, they are a delight. And it handles, you know, a complex... Most people think that King George was bipolar, had bipolar disorder, and I felt like this handled, and I've seen a lot of folks on Twitter who themselves have bipolar disorder talk about that this Mercury storyline was handled with a lot of grace, particularly when you're thinking about what mental illness was in the 1700s. So I thought it was excellent. It was a fan. I think it's better. I know this is strange. It's better than the other two seasons of Bridgerton, which I loved both of them.
Wow.
And I think this is better, and it's telling a little bit of a darker story, but like so, so, so good. So that's my first one. And then our mutual green light is the TV show Jury Duty. Listen, so I'd watched the first episode and I was like, it's like shrinking. I'd watched the first episode and I was like, there's just not a lot happening, because there isn't a lot happening in the first episode, because they're having to set up the concept. So you don't get any courtroom action, but this was a documentary. It was pitched as a documentary to look at how jury trials work in the U.S. But the thing was, everybody in the show, lawyers, judge, bailiff, witnesses, everybody was an actor, but one of the jurors named Ronald Gladden, who himself is a solar contractor from San Diego. And he does not know that his jury summons wasn't real. And he doesn't know that everyone, and it's eight episodes. James Marsden, the actor, plays a version of himself who has also been called to jury duty. I would say the interactions with James Marsden and Ronald are some of my favorites, because Ronald is really trying to be supportive of James as an actor, but he doesn't really know what he's been in the whole time. And it's really lovely. You know, once I watched all of it, and listen, the last episode is worth everything on the planet. This guy, I saw that he has over 140,000 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
Good for him. I hope he becomes an influencer, to beat all influencers. Like, I loved him. He, because the producers, we talked about it, that I was nervous when they revealed it to him because I was afraid he would be embarrassed and humiliated in not knowing. Because he was sequestered for 3 weeks. They were all, like, he thought that they were in the middle of a real jury trial. And, but they said, when we picked him, because 2,500 people applied to be a part, it was like a Craigslist application to be a part of this documentary. He, what I love is he, they wanted him to have a hero's journey. They wanted it to feel like 12 Angry Men. And that's exactly what they did. And it's because of Ronald. He was, to watch them have to like improv around what he's doing and he's saying, and then watching the behind the scenes, it was so excellent. And James Marsden was on a podcast. He was on NPR and he said, I like wanted to be friends with him in real life because he was such a genuinely great guy. So
yeah, I think I had a handful of people when I had COVID recommend it to me, and I didn't. And when I saw it, I just thought, I don't know, that's probably not for me. But as soon as you get into it, I think you get invested in Ronald, you know,
yes,
and the story around him, and obviously no spoilers, but just the journey he goes on. And like you're saying, Jamie, I was just fascinated with the ability of almost like the commitment to the bit of everyone around him, even when he is not in earshot or even in the scene or even on location, they're still doing their thing. They're still, yes, acting like their characters would. And I was just so fascinated with it. James, it's my favorite thing James Marsden's ever done. It's so thoughtful.
It is a delight.
It's almost a little, and it's scary because it's like, is this kind of an inflection point of, you know, the old model with reality TV where everyone's so aware that they are on TV that they're not even really doing anything real. They're just kind of performing in a weird way.
Yeah.
Is this the new version where you have to trick people into being a real version of themselves? I don't know. It's terrifying because I'm sure there are a lot of liability issues, but I think this proved, like, if you handle it the right way, you can get a really affecting, really interesting kind of product, you know, visually.
I know. And they, like, it's just really sweet to see at the end that they became friends. Like, he, yeah, became friends with so many of them. So I loved it. So what's your green light?
Okay. My green light is, first I'll do like a mini baby indulgent green light. So last week we did a Bible Binge episode on faith sabbaticals, and yes, I thought it was a really good episode.
You mean the episode faith sabbaticals colon?
Nope.
Cock blocks.
No call. No colon there. but all three of us appear on it, and, it's less like a, analysis, breakdown, explainer. It's just kind of three rolling conversations going on. And I just thought it was, I don't think we're transforming the world with our intellect or anything, but it's just some interesting conversations to listen to, different perspectives.
Listen, we're not a pick me Bible podcast, but mm-hmm, if you want a cool podcast instead of, you know, a lot of the other podcasts.
Yeah.
We are having, somebody said they thought it was the perfect balance of humor and vulnerability. And the three of us are not really vulnerable very much.
Sure.
And so I think we all have a little bit of a vulnerability hangover, but we tried to have an honest conversation, and somebody said it felt like they were overhearing us at dinner.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was kind of
the
goal.
We've had those kind of conversations at dinner. Mm-hmm. So I love that. So the link will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So check that out. But I'm also going to green light a TV show on Peacock. It's called Miss Davis.
Ooh.
It's from Damon Lindelof and Tara Hernandez. And it's the story of a nun-ish played by Betty Gilpin, who has to contend with this sort of omnipotent / omniscient AI or algorithm. My favorite thing about it is it's a very classic looking television show of there's some kind of villainous element and there's someone set against that villainous element. But it's really timely in the sense of, you know, because this obviously there had to be a long tail on getting this written, made, and then produced and distributed. The AI explosion that is dovetailed with this, I think, is so timely. But it's a very, this is a show where you can tell, you know, because like we talk about in The More You Know this week, we talk about the writer's strike and like what's informing that. And part of that conversation is about the ability to help writers learn how to make TV. And this is a TV show where some you watch and you think, wow, that was kind of weird. And I don't know if that made sense. And then some, it feels like all the pieces interlock and completely fit together. This is one of those shows where it's very knowledgeable about TV, and it's very knowledgeable about cliches typically deployed and used, and it exploits that. But it's also just well done television that also takes risks. And I think in particular, you know, probably inspired by the Baby Green Light of the Bible Binge episode. If you have any interest in religion or faith, this show really dives into the middle of it in a way that I haven't really seen a show do in a long time, because it wants to tackle that conflict between technology and progress, but also with religion. Like, Jesus is an actual character on the show. Like, he shows up, he's there, he exists, and he has interesting relationship with some of the main characters of the show. So if you liked Watchmen, it's not going to be as serious or as prestige-y as Watchmen, but it is just as well made and well thought out as Watchmen, just in a different way on Peacock. So I highly recommend checking out.
Okay, I can't wait to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastverse. So your purchases are affiliate link. For item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a earwax removal tool.
This is your earwax.
This is, that's right. Tool. This is the one that we've used at our house and we absolutely love.
That's right. So it has 4,500 global ratings, 4.3 stars. My two favorite questions about this product was, A, can it be used for your belly button? And a customer responded, yes, it can.
If you really want to. Yes, it can. Yeah, sure.
And then my other favorite was, can I use it on my dog? Mm. And Wendy replied, I don't see why not. Dogs don't have a straight canal to the eardrum, so it should be safe. Do we trust Wendy? Wendy? Just Wendy on Amazon?
I like somebody out here trying to be an authority, you know, for these stupid questions.
I know. All right, you guys. Don't forget, you can find out if you're a Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A mom by taking our quiz. Go to knoxandjamie.com/mom quiz to sign up and get our note for the audio newsletter and our quiz, Taco Bell versus Chick-fil-A moms. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.